Oh, your matchless love and beauty and last one. And nothing in this world can satisfy. Oh, Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Say, who is like you, Lord?
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth?
Your matchless love.
I love the way Hebrews 11 opened. Listen. It was a book that took out time to give an in-depth of the capacities of faith. But it opened by defining faith. It says, now, faith is the substance. You are hoping for it, but it's already a substance in your hand. The substance of things hoped for. Then it says it is the evidence of things not seen. Now the reason why some people were dancing and rejoicing and some were just in a moody state. Those who were dancing, they understood faith. Amen. Look at me. The hallmark of Jesus' ministry is summarized by one word, faith. See what he does. He comes before the tomb where a dead man has been placed for nothing less than 3 days. He's rotting already. Then he came and stood before it on the fourth day. And people were watching. He started by saying, I thank you, Father. Not, Lord, hear us. No, I thank you, Father. Who goes ahead thanking God for what has not happened is faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You want to touch a miracle? You want to touch a visitation? Go for faith. Don't wait until it happens. Start thanking God before it happens. This is the way of the kingdom. We will have one more opportunity, maybe at the end of the miracle service, so that those who missed the first flight, they might catch up. Your life is about to change. God does not call us to seek Him in vain. And He leaves dividends, He leaves proofs in our life that we came before Him. Take 1 minute wherever you are and tell the Lord, leave something upon my destiny. Let me remember this miracle service for the rest of my life. Leave something tangible. Something tangible. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 23. I want you to look at the screen carefully. I want you to read as loud as you can. At the count of three, 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read. It's in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed. Look at me. Please, just give me your attention. It's a miracle service, so we need to be very intentional about what we are doing tonight. The Bible says, when you find the poor, although he is in lack, he says his tillage, his farmland, has capacity to bear much food. Much food is in the farmland of the poor, but there is that is destroyed. For want of judgment. There is something that has manipulated his capacity to get a good harvest. He is not poor because he is lazy. He is not poor because he did not go to the farm. But there is injustice. There is lack of judgment on account of how much yield he can produce. So he says, although the farm has much food, there is a quantity of that food that is destroyed because of a want of judgment. What are these forces that continue to undermine the efforts of people? What are these forces that continue to trivialize the labors of men? That a man wakes up early, sleep late at night, and still eats the bread of sorrow. That he toils all day and there is no dividend of labor. He says much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. Today, I need you to raise your voice into God in one accord. I want you to ask the Lord, everything, every installation, every programming around my life to undermine the dividends of labor, to resist my hard work, to make sure nothing good comes out of my efforts. As I begin to pray, I judge all of the systems of devourers. I judge every structure of limitation on my part. And I declare a new season of abundance. Let my land begin to yield. Let my land begin to yield. Let my land begin to yield. People can go all night reading, all night studying, and then they go for the exams. It is not a reflection of their preparation. People take time, and do all kinds of lobbying. They submitted CVs everywhere, but there is no door opening. People invest their savings, their lifetime savings, into businesses, and it is swallowed up. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. Don't be quiet over your life. I speak to my destiny. I speak to my destiny. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Increase on all sides. Be fruitful, be fruitful. Success syndromes, almost getting it, but it is not working out. Somebody will be violent tonight and speak to the land of your destiny. Be fruitful. Yeah. is great, your life must change. You will never be the same. You've touched His grace, your life must change. You would never be the same. You've touched His grace, your life must change. We would never be the same. We've touched His grace, our life must change. Aya, aya. Look at me. Look at me. You see this scripture I showed you in Proverbs 13:23? A layman's way to render it is that our destiny is like a farmland, and that your capacity to produce is to what degree you are brutal. That there are certain destinies where there is a notice. Military zone, keep off. Huh? The powers, the spirits that are responsible for maligning people's destiny, they don't go near there. They go and camp and perch on other people's destiny. And then when you come and look at a man, he does not look anything like God's ordination for his life. Then you are looking at him and say, what happened to you? After 50 years, no day for favor, no day for rest. You know, let me tell you one truth. Listen to me. I know a young lady. I think she died around maybe 41, 42, thereabout. From infancy, from childhood, it was struggle, sorrow, hardship, till the day that she died, there was no season of rest. Is that God's will for a man? Then it went from being raised in abject poverty into a cycle of sicknesses later. Then she battled with sickness, and so throughout her life, there was no taste of rest. I know how wicked Satan can be. He is deliberate about keeping us under perpetual captivity. This is why I'm telling somebody to carry a rugged side this night. Be brutal. He says, from the days of John, this kingdom suffered violence. Only violent men take their inheritance by force. I need you to program your destiny one more time. I need you to be personal about what will happen around your space. No room for delay. No room for scarcity. No room for deception. No room for manipulation. I check out everything that resists my rising. I uproot the installations of darkness. The spirit of the devourer, I set you back. For Satan in this place. No room, no room. There's no room for Satan here. I refuse to be small. I refuse to be small. We say no to you, no to your works, and no to your plans, no to your works. We say no to you, Satan. We say no to you, no to your works, and no to your plans, no to your works. We say no to you, Satan be gone. I say no to you,
no to your works, and no to your plans, no to your works.
We say no to
you,
Satan be gone.
I said no to you, no to your work, no to your plan, no to your work.
Listen.
There are certain people here, you are under this attack I'm about to mention. Listen, give me your attention. Your time is under attack. You know what you ought to be doing. You know what you ought to be doing right now. You know what would benefit your destiny if that is what you commit your time to. But spirits that have been deployed to make sure you cannot use time properly. So although you can keep a very nice program and say, by the grace of God, I will study, I will do this. This is how they continue to make sure procrastination eat up chunk of your time. Many people don't know procrastination is an attack. It makes sure you are never prepared for any season. It makes sure there is no stage you are prepared for. Everything you ought to do that's supposed to bring you towards Pharaoh, everything that should announce you to the king, you will never be prepared. And so every time you come before open doors, before opportunities, opportunities cannot be opportunities because you are not prepared. It is preparation plus opportunity that makes breakthrough. But since you are not prepared, opportunities come. And so breakthroughs cannot become the lot. Today you are going to go against the spirit that eats time, the devourer. I rise above procrastination. I rise. Turned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong, bread is not to the wise, favor is not to men of understanding. Some matters before, but I feel led to dwell on this scripture a bit. Then we pray. Is that okay? Please be seated. God bless you. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Please look at me. Be brutal this night. What you are doing this night is called downloads. It's downloads. It's activations. You want to step out of a version of yourself into a superior mode. You see, the way you can buy a new phone, and although it's a new phone, the moment you activate the phone by a SIM, every app inside that phone will begin to suggest that permission to upgrade. There is an upgrade button you can click. So maybe you bought an Android phone and it arrived as probably Android 6.0. What is the latest Android now? I know you will not answer. It's called downloads. What it means is that where you ought to be, we are not there yet. And we know that we have made many mistakes. We have missed many seasons. But there is a system in the presence of God that causes for restoration. And so it is one of those systems we are exploring tonight. And if we want to now redeem the time that has been lost by ignorance and by the attack of the enemy on our life, one of the things we must do is to capitalize on the altar of priesthood. Because you can build up yourself by yourself. In Jude chapter 1 verse 20, it says, "And ye, dearly beloved, build up yourself in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost." So a man can live and gain some mileage, and you can use prayer to catch up. I'm not wasting time praying to God. Don't let anybody trivialize prayer in your life. There's a generation that don't know God, and they want to make a mockery of the holy ordinance. They want to continue to speak very low of hallowed things. So they try to make any young man who is praying look like, instead of you to go and look for something to do with your life, you are busy praying. What do you mean by something to do with your life? A person who labors in prayer is generating impact in both realms. That prayer will have a physical impact on his life. Number two, he is generating impact in the eternal realm. You are not the same. Both of you are not the same. You will know the difference between both of you as you begin to come before various doors of transition. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Everybody, let's read together. It's very important what God wants to show us. He says, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happened to them all. Listen. I don't understand what type of race that the fastest man is not who won it. In fact, by physical statistics and metrics, it is the person who wins the race that is the fastest. But in the race of destiny, speed itself is not an advantage. It was supposed to Mike Oropo that says, if you are running in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. You are hurrying to wrong places. You are hurrying to nowhere. So it is not just enough to have speed. The speed must be coordinated according to God's blueprint for your life. And so he says there is a race where the fastest men don't win. So he says the race is not to the swift. The battle. So when you come to warfare, you should actually expect that the person who is stronger will prevail. But it says in this battle of life, that strength is not a guarantee that you will win. So what guarantees men? What makes a person prevail in that race? What gives you victory in the battle? We sit down in classes, and from primary, from nursery to primary, this story is already playing out in the life of many people. Those we always thought that if anybody will be successful, it will be these ones, based on the metrics as at the time. It came to pass that life has a way of turning the tables around. People who look like dundies, that these ones they concluded, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Suddenly the season switched, and now the guru of the class is struggling to get admission, and a dundee is now in university. Then a clique of gurus in the flesh now meet and say, forget all this dundee, they did expo. Listen, let me explain something to you. The earlier you forget the victories of yesterday and begin to trust God for his favor for the now, the quicker you will make something out of your life. Too many people are dwelling on the past. Too many people will sit down. People call me to you today, and what they just want is to chat a discussion that will take us back to that class. Let me remember that they are my senior and that they flogged me that year. And I'm thinking, I'm an adult now, for God's sake. I cannot be treating you the way we did before. Somebody said, you remember you were the one that used to wash my clothes? And I said, wait. So what this brother wants now is that, as it has been from the beginning, so it shall be forevermore. I wash clothes till I die? No. The seasons of life changes. Some people would never accommodate your transition. You have changed, but they refuse it. So they see you even with kings. They still say, oh boy, what they want is, forget that anything is happening now. Now we know ourselves. This is why people complain that people change. People don't change. You just cannot accommodate transitions. She is your friend all along. Now she's married with children. You want to still be going to hang out the same way you used to hang out. She's not feeling. She's not forming for you. Seasons have changed. Accommodate that transition and maintain favor. You want to have strategic access to people's life. A lot of people say, see somebody we are drinking garri with. See somebody we ate from the same plate with. Now that God has blessed him, he has changed. He did not change. You are the one that cannot accommodate transition. You say you are a bestie with somebody. Now she is married. How is she still your bestie? Somebody's wife? This is how many people land into trouble. Because you cannot accommodate transitions. The moment you can regard that something has shifted in this person's life, I treat them in accordance to that change. That friendship is preserved. You know, it is better for somebody who is your friend to see you and then say, maybe now you are a senator. And say, Your Excellency. Then you yourself now say, come on now, we are together. Excellency between me and you again. It is you that should do that. Not having that sense, that entitlement, that forget anywhere God lifts him. We know ourselves. This is how people never connect with greatness. They remain in the past, refusing to acknowledge transitions. Pride has closed the door. Listen, let me say this. Let me reiterate it again. As we begin to run the race of destiny, it is not designed that everybody will go to the palace. It is a few that will go. Those few that will go will tell the king about the rest of us. It is your duty to make sure you know how to position. You see, people are always quick to become competitive with anything they perceive to be their mate. There is no mate in destiny. Even your junior can lift you up. You just can't. Let me repeat this thing again. Let it sink. We are not all ordained to meet Pharaoh. Only few will meet him. It is the duty of those who met him to recommend the rest of us. If you can master relationship, your destiny is guaranteed. Know how everybody from your class will be a failure. It's not possible. If you master relationship, the moment one person enters the palace, his thoughts will remember you. This is how people maximize relationships. But you know, we are in a world where the moment something good happens to somebody around you, the heart of the average man enters a competitive mode and begins to pay attention to the little, say, did you see the way he now taking his voice to talk to me? I went to a conference somewhere. Details withheld. And they came to pick me from the airport with these black SUVs, with escort. Police personnel were ahead. And I was enjoying the dividends of the anointed as they were cruising. Immediately we dropped. I was hearing a voice. The voice was calling me one of my childhood tribal names. You know those names where anybody who can know that name, the person was... Meanwhile, this person knows my formal name. This person knows, because he knows me. But he chose to address me that way to show that, look, there's things I know about this one that all of you here don't. When I turned and I looked at him and I said, oh boy, how far? And he came. Guess what? The next thing is like this. You want to take a picture. A lot of people come. Sometimes they sit down during counseling. We are talking. Before I address the question you asked, sir, please, can we snap? And I'm looking at you. I knew that guy, this one. So your plan is to leave this place, go and upload the picture, and then say, co-laborers in the field. I've had the privilege to meet a couple of great men, and God is my witness. I never give them any sign. I don't give them any reason to believe that I intend to capitalize on that meeting for any publicity.
I ask definite questions and I try as much as possible to honor them. I already know that there are many places that the gift upon my life cannot open up to me. But there are people, according to the program of ordination, that we were networked inside time at different seasons of our life, that they will get to certain places before me. And I must maintain healthy relationship so that the moment that particular prisoner was restored to his office, did you know he forgot Joseph? He continued to live his normal life until a challenge came in the palace. Then he remembered that there was a person who interpreted a dream for him some years back. Meanwhile, the guy that interpreted the dream told him that as God will restore you, don't forget me. He forgot him. Until a challenge came. May anybody that at one point in your life or another, God has made your path to cross path with them, that is in a place, in an office, in a position where recommendation can change your life from, may the Lord put your thought in their heart. Did you hear that prayer? May the Lord put your thought in their heart. Do you understand the scripture that says the heart of kings are in his hands? It means anytime God wants to favor you around kings, he does something to their hearts. How would your news go to the ears of the powers? It is somebody that must recommend you. Stop fighting, stop resisting, and stop competing with people. I greet everybody, both people who are older and those who I'm older than. I greet everybody, sir. All the workers here are my witness. Morning, sir. Good afternoon, ma. Sometimes I say afternoon, sir, to some people, and I see they start smiling, and I say, sir, I am not sir. I'm looking at you. I say, look at this one. It's not because of you. It's a program. I know that if I honor everybody, there's no how I will miss the people with something on their head. It's not possible. So I spread honor like a net. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight. You know what the waters is? It's the sons of men. He says, cast your bread on many people. You don't know which of them will remember you. Some people here, you just have a very few clique of friends. Airtight, airtight. Your company, only three people are your friends. From beginning till now. Then they ask you, you say, I'm a very selective person. Ask anybody, they know me. You cannot be my friend anyhow. While you are saying these things, remember, anybody, and I repeat it again, anybody who eventually enters into superior versions of themselves, at one point or another, they had the help of men. After this meeting, you must learn how to maximize friends, including enemies. There are things only your enemies can do for you. I keep my enemies at arm's length. They are always around me. I know them before they know I know them. I discern their move long before manifestation. I keep them at arm's length. I give them some tags and give them hints that there is suspicion that there is a black sheep around. So they will be moved. I called a brother some weeks back and I told him, see, you know the way Jesus met Judas and said, do that which you must do quickly. Amen. The conversation started from one among you will betray me. It was still an open conversation. Then it progressed into a particular person. You do what you have to do quickly. You must vow after this meeting. You must vow that you will not misrepresent God to anybody. And you will not underrate anybody you meet. If you master only this one, by just association alone, your destiny is guaranteed.
I speak spirit. I don't speak English. I speak life. I speak life.
Listen. He says, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, but nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Look at me. He says, the race is not to the swift, battle is not to the strong. And then he went on to give us the various conditions that don't guarantee any particular result. Then it sealed it by saying, it is time and chance that are the determinant of how anybody's life will turn out. That it is time and chance that happeneth to them all. Please tell somebody by your side, time and chance. Say it again like you mean it, time and chance. If your time is under attack, you are really under attack. But many people don't know yet. You see that suggestion to sleep extra, that suggestion to put for tomorrow what you could have done today, that suggestion to just rest a bit more, that suggestion to give a bulk of time to entertainment, to give a bulk of time to relaxation, it is an attack on your destiny. See what happens here. There is such an appraisal in the narrative of destiny called by this time. So when a tree is planted, you give that tree a particular time duration, then you come looking for fruit on account of the time the tree has spent. Meaning that there is a level of transformation and fruitfulness time should be responsible for. So a tree that has stayed for this number of years should have been able to be fruitful by this time. So there is this appraisal that God demands in our life, measuring us by the opportunity of time given to us. And so if you have used time wisely, let's assume that you have studied diligently. Many of us sitting here, the certificates in your hands, they are not a reflection of your true capacity. You know that you are better than that thing you are holding, because there's a report card that nature, that life, that destiny is given to you, that you did not use time and chance well. Many of us, by every season of our life, we continue to play out this script. You wait. Hey, a textbook that the writer used 3 years to write, the lecturer used 3 months to teach it. You say you will read it in one night. That your own is crash program, is TDB, that you know yourself, you do well under pressure. Brother, if you can do crash program, crash every day and see what you are, you would have been dangerous and sharp. Just imagine if every day you put your brain under that pressure to grasp that concept. Tomorrow again, you do it as though it's one day to exam. A day after tomorrow again, you do it as though it's one. You will be too good. You don't even know how good you are. But certain people continue to recycle some level of results that is not a reflection of their true capacity, because time and chance are not used wisely. See something about time. When time is used wisely, chances increase. So time and chance, they are directly proportional. If your time is used well, your chances will increase in life. Another word for chance is opportunity. The moment you begin to use time well, opportunities around your life begins to increase. This is not about somebody did not recommend you or you didn't get the chance. The moment time begins to be used well, opportunities begins to increase. There are people, after you leave here, when you return back, I need you to take a moment and do an appraisal of your life. Some of us, 5 hours every day is swallowed up by entertainment. You just hold that phone on the screen like this till you sleep. You do that week in, week out, day and night. And gradually, day is becoming weeks. Weeks is becoming months. Months is becoming years. And years is becoming your life. Today, I want us to be deliberate. I want us to be intentional that I will not abuse time. I will not let time to go without a judicious use of it. Many of us, what you need to be doing now is preparing. Preparing for what? Preparing for what you ask God for. Some of us have asked the Lord. See what the Bible says. It says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. It says, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. What does it mean to ask? To ask means to make a demand for what you want. The moment you make a demand, the Bible says, he that asketh, receiveth. You know the next thing? It says, after you ask, seek. What does it mean to seek? Somebody sat down carefully and said, Lord, give me a car. Bless me with a car. The moment you are done asking for a car, the kingdom expects that your next action is to seek a car. How do you seek a car? To seek means to amass relevant information about your desired change. Give me a car. And the Lord says, you have received. Give me a wife. The Lord says, you have received. Give me a job. The Lord says, the door is open. What is the next thing for a believer? Seek. We don't seek. We remain asking from January till December because we don't understand levels of access. What does it mean to seek? It means the moment you are done praying and you have that victory note, go and register in a driving school. What you are doing, you are amassing information about your desired change. Where is the car? It's not available yet, but I have asked God for it. And I am seeking it now. How do you seek it? You are pursuing relevant information around your desired change. I'm trusting God to be settled. I've prayed about it. Marital settlement is my lot this year. What's the next thing you should be doing? We should be seeing you consumed in literatures, in books, preparing you for marriage. You know what? It is as he thinks in his heart, so he is. So the moment you are done asking with your mouth, you begin to seek it with your heart. It means you are harnessing informations, details, you are harnessing realities into your heart about what you ask God for. I ask God for your wife. When I'm done asking, I will need to seek a wife. What it means is that you will need to begin to amass information. You will need to position yourself. That positioning is a conscious effort. How do you ask God and say, Lord, bless me with a husband this year? And then you now go out always, everywhere you go, you just dress carelessly with one wrapper. You wake up in the morning, you are not putting yourself in order. You are just living yourself carelessly. And then you say, anybody that will like you will like you. You are not positioning. You are not seeking. You have asked, but you are not seeking. To seek means to pursue relevant information about your desired change. Lord, give me a wife. Lord, I must marry. Does this sound like one of your prayer points? I know you will not answer. Now, the moment I am done doing that, the next thing, just imagine somebody asking God for a job, that this year, Lord, you open a door for me, and they don't have their CV. No CV. You are not seeking yet. The moment you are done asking, the next thing is to seek. When you are seeking, type your CV, articulate your skills, put it well, and begin to be prepared to at least in 2 minutes deliver a very concise detail about what you can do. Because any moment opportunity can open up. You don't know where it will find you, but the day it comes, I'm ready. This is how it means to seek, to stay ever prepared. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Lord, bless me this day. Increase me. Give me access to greatness. You know what I do? When I get dressed that morning, I'm expecting I will meet somebody today. I am conscious that somebody must cross paths with me today that will open my life into new realities that is not my lot before now. So I am positioning myself for what I have asked the Lord for. This is what it means to seek. Let me give you another illustration. Maybe it will make sense. I asked God for a wife. And then, after much prayers, some of you are smiling.
I don't know what you are thinking. Then a victory note came into my soul, either by a sense of rest, because you can get a victory note by a rest you come into in the prayer, or God answers you through visions and dreams. And then you see that thing you were praying about, somehow you had a dream that it has happened. The moment that thing happens, the next season, the spirit realm has informed me that I need to enter. It's seeking. I need to begin to seek the wife I have received, because whoever asketh, receiveth. I have received my wife, but I have received her in a realm that is not tangible. So I need to now start seeking that thing. It's like somebody sending you money from, let's say, US. It will come in their currency. There will be need for a conversion before you can now do business at your own space. This is how the blessing of God, it comes in forms where it needs to be sought after before you can touch it. I will now need to become very, very conscious. I will be praying now and be watching. So I will watch and pray. When I come to church, I can be praying and the Holy Ghost will say, look, look to your right. Look, just look. I will say, Lord, this is your house. He will say, open your eyes and look. The moment you begin, listen. The moment you begin to seek, you will start getting certain directions to certain individuals, certain locations, certain offices, certain jobs. The moment that thing starts happening, you and your breakthrough are becoming very close. Now, the moment I start sensing that I'm feeling attracted or I'm feeling drawn to this particular lady, is it the Holy Ghost that will ask her out for me? Meanwhile, listen, the scripture says riches and inheritance are from the fathers, but a faithful or virtuous woman is from the Lord. So if a virtuous woman or faithful woman is from the Lord, and God says he is the one that gives it, why am I the one that asked her out? Because in the realm of seeking, your participation is needed. You know the end of asking? The end of asking is receiving. When you receive, there is need for you to assess what you have received. Just imagine I am in front of a shop right now. Please, if you are getting blessed, say amen. Amen. I want to teach us applicable things that can create changes in our life. You are in front of a shop and you are standing there and you see something you have been looking for many years. You have not seen. Now you have seen it, but you don't have any money on you. Then you took your phone and made a call and said, please, my guy, is it possible for you to send me some money? And then your friend sent some money into your account, but you don't have any ATM or a bank app with you. You are in front of what you want to buy. You have the money, but the people cannot give it to you because you cannot assess what is your own yet. It is your money already in your name, but access has not been granted. This is the difference between a man who has perfected asking and has not entered seeking. Because when you start seeking, it's access to what you have received that you are entering. Many people, they have a stockpile of many blessings from God, but they have never sought any one of it. So they go back asking God for what has been given to them. They have not sought it. Many of us are sitting down. You are trusting God that you will receive a call one of these days. Somebody will call you and say, hello, is this F.I. Emmanuel? Then you will say, yes, please, who is speaking? He now say, is the human resource person from Shell. We just got an application from you. And then you will now say, no, I did not apply. They will now say, don't worry, all the same, you are already successful. You know, there is this idea we have that I don't know how it happened, but God did it. Can I share something with you? Every testimony that you don't know how it happened, somebody knows. God moved somebody. At some point, somebody moved. It takes man to orchestrate change in the world of men.
There are days where I am led by the Spirit, send so-so-so amount to so-so-so persons. And I put their account numbers in my app and I send money to them. Where they are, they believe that it is a grace. Amen? That there's a grace, that there's something. I don't know why there's something about me. If it's about me, anywhere I am, miracle alert will just be entry. Oga, that alert you receive is at the mercy of my obedience to God. If I refuse to obey that voice, you will not see shishi. Now, when you look at a miracle, you will see that there are different parties involved. What I'm telling you today is that don't leave your life to chance. There are factors you can influence. And it does not take away the testimony from that narrative. By the grace of God, before this December this year, by God's grace, I will be married. And you are busy jumping from one relationship to another. You don't know that it is a small world. You don't know that people network, people talk a lot. Now you have dated everybody in the church. How can they marry you there? The moment this brother is going around you, somebody is coming to whisper to him that I hope you are not planning to ask her out, because now my friend, they date her at the moment. This is where many people meet. Many people, this is how they create resistance against their life, because they don't know yet that it takes partnership with God for breakthroughs to open in time for you. I remember a very funny story. God is my witness. I think sometime around 2018-2019, I woke up one morning and I finished asking God. I said, Lord, you can see the kind of work we are doing. It would be good to have a car so that as we go around, it will be easier to move from one place to another. When I'm done praying, the Holy Ghost says, seek that which you have prayed for. I now called my friend Abel, the head of protocol. We went to the car stand in town, there in Kawo. We went dressed very smart so that nobody would think we are wasters of time. When we showed up, we said, how much is this one? The people first, what they will do, they will look at you from your head to your toe. When they rate you, they will know whether you are worth their time. And so when they saw the way we came out, they felt these people have something backing this confidence. So they said, this one is so-so-so amount. I said, can I feel the steering? They said, why not? They brought the key. I said, let me hear the sound of the engine. They own it. I held the steering. I did it like this. I now sat down. I said, Kai, you don't get another one. They say, well, that there are others. What don't you like about this? I said, there is the way the seat is not, it's not balanced the way I like. And I don't like this color. Guess what I'm doing? I'm pulling that reality from an external occurrence and drawing it into my mind. I'm making sure me and that thing, we are coming closer by the day. It's not far again. Once upon a time, it's inside my head. Now I'm sitting inside. Now I'm testing it. I got up and I said, if that you guys have light gray, that's what I would have liked. They now say that they have light gray in another car stand. I said, don't worry, I'll go there by myself. When we left there, we entered bus and came back home. I came back to my room and sat down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My car is coming. Guess what? In 3 months' time, that same light gray Corolla, it appeared in my life supernaturally. The same thing I was talking about, the same thing I tested, the same thing I described. Let me tell you one truth. I did not save one naira for that car. I didn't save shishi for it. See, it is the mystery of conception I'm sharing with you. Anything that will enter your life must first be inside you. The baby that a woman carried in her hand was inside her for 9 months. It was going through different stages of development. A point came, that baby altered her life. That baby altered her appetite. There is a way you come close to a breakthrough and something will just make you restless. Something will just change how comfortable you are about that situation. You are near your breakthrough. The Bible says a woman who is in travail, about to put forth, it says she is in pain because her time has come. So there are certain seasons of distress that is because your time has come. I need you to be very, very intentional. You leave this meeting, don't just sit down and be waiting for things to work out. Take bold steps. Take your bath, put on a nice suit, polish your shoe, walk up to that office you are trusting God for. What are you doing? You are looking for somebody? No, I just came to ask if there is any vacancy. I can even work for free for now. If there is any opportunity, I can actually give my services for free. You know what you are doing? You are drawing yourself closer to your desired end. The first day might be you are working for free, but you will not work for free for long, because the moment any opportunity opens, guess who will know first? You who is working in the company. You are seeking. You are seeking. Lord, give me a wife. I'm going back to that example. I begin to pray. I begin to seek God's face. Then I begin to look around. While I'm looking, I will be led. Listen, look at me. I will be led to maybe one person. When I go to the person, it is my duty to humble myself. Because anything you are trusting God for, somebody already has it. Let me show you. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you will find. It says, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Not knock and open the door. You are not the one to open the door. The door shall be opened unto you. So your work is to knock and wait for the person to open the door. See where brothers get it wrong. A brother comes now with arrogance, with pride, and come and say, well, I'm a man of few words. I don't have time. If you want, yes, you say yes. If you don't want anything, you let me know now so that I move on. You will never touch anything real like that, because your role is to knock and wait until the door is open unto you. The person who will open the door is inside. See all these brothers that give ladies deadline. Somebody shows up and says, you don't know the person anywhere. That's the first time you're talking. He just says, how about April? You now say, what is wrong with April? He said, are you ready to get married? Then you come back with disappointment that no sister says yes. There is a way to build these things. Meanwhile, to be honest with you, the moment you are in the season of seeking, the way we know that you have asked and you have received is that you will not be knocking on several doors. Is that you know that you have received and you were led by the seeking process. So you were led to a particular door. See what a brother does. He asks Nkechi out, asks Miriam out, asks Blessing out, and then at the end of the day, two people say yes. Then you disappoint one. You stay with one for 2 months, and then you now say, I need to take a retreat. Sisters, let me give you one expo very quickly. If you are dating anybody and he begins to tell you he needs some time to just reflect on life, know that there's a retreat he needs to take. You are single. Or the person begins to be unusually busy suddenly. Then start telling you that you know this matter of the weight, the zeal of the house of the Lord, you know, it consumes. Everybody will make out time for what they love. There are signals, signs you must be able to tell. Even Jesus, the Son of God, followed this platform. This same procedure. The first thing Jesus did, he asked the Father for us. The scripture says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for your possession. Know what Jesus did? He asked the Father for us. The moment he was done asking for us, he came to seek us. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So Jesus did not only ask and then start waiting for us to come and meet him. He came to seek us. And when he was done seeking, in Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hears my voice, so even Jesus too, he will not open the door by himself. He will knock and wait for the man to open the door for him. Then he comes in. I don't know where you are, at what point you are currently about what you are trusting God for. Maybe you have remained in the asking place. For some of us, we have not taken any step to seek what we have asked the Lord for. After this meeting, it will be a good time to begin to seek deliberately what you have asked the Lord for. And the moment the seeking season is accomplished, the next thing is to begin to knock. Isaiah chapter 42, very quickly. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 22. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 22. Please, everybody, can we read together at the count of two? One, two, go. But this is a people. Come on, let's read together. One, two, go. This is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith. This is a people robbed, spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith restore. I need somebody at your seated position to raise a prayer. I want you to raise a prayer of petition against any season, any manifestation of captivity, either over your life or your loved ones. He says, this is a people who are robbed. They are spoiled. They are for a prey. Nobody delivered them. They are for a spoil. Nobody said restore. Lift up your voice wherever you are and declare, every spirit, every finger, every wickedness working contrary to the advancement and breakthrough of the members of my household, of my family, of my friends, I declare the hold of captivity broken. Let there be restoration. Everybody locked up in prison houses. Every brother, every sister going through one situation of captivity or another. They are for a prey. They are locked up in prison houses. None delivereth. Lord, let the chains be broken. This is a people raw, spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. Is there any brother, any sister who is held bound by addictions, by captivity, by delay? Restore, oh God. Restore. Restore.
Everybody, look at what I'm about to show you. Quickly, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14. You are going to pray with this. This is why we came. We came to shake ourselves until fetters fall by themselves. We came to trouble the waters until transformation become our lot. We came to throw away everything that hold us bound. Let's read together at the count of two. One, two, go. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. If you didn't understand that scripture, listen. A man shall be satisfied with good. If satisfaction is what you are looking for, they say it will be by the fruit of your mouth. It is only by the partnership of your utterance that satisfaction can happen in your life. They said, but in case you are not speaking over your destiny, anything your hand work for, you will receive the fair reward of your labor. But those who want to be satisfied, they say it will be by the fruit of their mouth. I need somebody to prophesy over their life in the next 1 minute. I need somebody to create the desired change. I need somebody to speak forth the things that they want to see upon their destiny. I need somebody to make dangerous decrees over their life. I am the head and not the tail. I have more understanding than the ancients. While men shall say there is a casting down, I will say there is a lifting. My going out and my coming in is blessed. I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I am fruitful in my seasons. With long life, he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. Are you tired? Are you tired? Are you tired of speaking over your destiny? I've tarried on this mountain for too long. I move to a new season. I enter higher heights. I rise like an edifice. I rise.
man and God. I have favor with man and God. I am not alone. I'm not alone. Now anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I walk in overflow. Go ahead where you are. Begin to program February. Begin to program February. Begin to create your outcome. Begin to create your outcome. Don't be quiet. You can speak into tomorrow. February is open. You can create it now.
Prayer, I will stay in prayer. When I leave this world, I will go in prayer. I came by prayer, I will stay in prayer. When I leave this world, I will go in prayer.
I came by prayer,
I will stay in prayer. When I leave this world, I will go in prayer. I came by prayer, I will stay in prayer. When I leave this world,
I will go in prayer. I came by prayer, I will stay in prayer. When I leave this world.
I'm not afraid. thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established.
Don't be quiet now. Don't be quiet. Don't be quiet. If two shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth is loosed in heaven. Don't be quiet now.
I came by prayer.
I came by prayer.
I will stay in prayer.
I will stay in prayer.
When I leave this world,
I need to
go in prayer.
Go in prayer.
I came by prayer.
I came by prayer.
I will stay in prayer.
I will stay in prayer.
When I leave this world,
when I need
I'm going in prayer.
Go
February is at the mercy of your prayers. February is at the mercy of your priesthood. It's open. It's open. Anything can happen. Your life can change forever, or you can be quiet about it and accept anything you see. Pray now. Favor. Listen. It is when men shall be saying there is a casting down. You, the Bible says, you will be saying there is a lifting. In the month of March, you will enjoy favor like never before. The month of March is a month of supernatural favor for your life and your family. All I need from you now is to shout a believing amen at the mention of that name, Jesus. Anybody in this place harboring one regret in their heart or another about opportunities they have missed, about situations they did not handle properly, about different narratives that they wish the hand of time can be turned again, by the power of the Holy Ghost, may there be restoration for you in this month of March in the name of Jesus Christ. Lost relationships, quality destiny relationships that have been mismanaged and lost. Let there be restoration in the name of Jesus Christ.
I begin to uproot everything planted in your life to stand as a stumbling block, to make sure you cannot see opportunities, to make sure you cannot recognize open doors. Let that veil, let it be torn from your eyes now in the name of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 2 and 3. He says, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I am the God that called you by name. I declare the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, they appear in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and the woman Hagar was crying with her son Ishmael, almost dying of thirst. And the woman left the baby out of total frustration. Let him now die, since there's no water. It says the angel of the Lord came and opened her eyes. And lo and behold, the same place that they were about to die of thirst, there was a pool of water there. The Lord will open somebody's eyes to opportunities. In the scriptures I read to you in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 3, it says, I will give thee the treasures of darkness. There are treasures concealed. There are treasures veiled. It says, in case you don't know what the treasures of darkness is, it says they are called the hidden. Please project it. Project it. They are called the hidden riches of secret places. They are not at the surface. They are hidden. They are in secret places. God says, I will give it to you. This is your lot in the month of March. For anybody in this place who is tired, of a season of penury, of lack, of scarcity, receive access to the hidden riches of secret places in the name of Jesus Christ. A call certain people have been waiting for. Every time their phone rings, they run and check, is it that one? Hear the word of the Lord. Between now and the end of this month, it's not even going to take long. Between now and the end of this month, that door opens for you in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak over the seasons. I speak over the doors of expectations. Every door you have been knocking on that has refused to open, every door you have continued to wait on, and it is becoming like it will never come to pass, by the power of the Holy Ghost, Ephata, be open in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. Pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. 1 minute. You are sick in your body. You are sick in this place. Whatsoever the case is, please, let's arrange ourselves on this line here, straight. Just come to this side. Let's stay here, straight. You are sick in your body.
You are sick in your body. Just come. Stay straight here. Huh, thank you, Jesus. Listen to me. Listen. Just give me your attention. As we enter the month of March, saviors, watchmen, and deliverers, they will manifest in families. Many families are in need of deliverers and savior. Those who will wipe their tears. Those who will quench their thirst. Those who emerge and become a large tree and create shade for the scorching sun of lack and penury. Between now and the month of March, saviors, deliverers, and watchmen will emerge over families. The fire of the Holy Ghost will begin to ignite seasons of manifestation. And saviors will begin to emerge. Deliverers will begin to emerge. There will be an enablement. There will be an endowment. Something heavy will come upon you. And it will give you capacity. The power to get wealth. The power to get wealth. It comes upon you now. Holy Ghost. The spirit of wisdom. It's coming upon you now. Oh, oh. I told you to pray. Just pray where you are. It is time for activations. Time for activations. I refuse to live here as I came. Something heavy must drop upon me. Where is that treasure hidden on my inside? I rise! I rise! I speak to Deborahs. I speak to all of the deliverers. Deliverers of families. Deliverers of destinies. Deliverers of territories. Deborah! Deborah, awake! I stir you up from families, from territories. Awake! I stir you up, I stir you up. Wherever you are, let the fire of God come upon them now. Deborah, awake! Ushers, please bring them out. Awake, 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 awake. Deborah, awake. Hi. Deborah, awake. You have seen in the visions of the night, every ordination you have captured in encounters that has refused to enter time, that
that has refused to enter time, at the count of three, fire comes upon you. There are activations. There are activations. There are activations. Awake, 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 awake.
Awake, 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 awake.
The borders away.
The borders away.
The borders away.
The borders away.
Awake, 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 awake.
Awake, 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 awake.
The borders away.
The borders away.
The borders away.
The borders away.
Listen. I want to show you something. Listen, listen. I want to show you how men change. I want to show you how men change totally. I want to show you how people will leave this door as different entities. At the count of three, I just need everybody here to shout Jesus as loud as you can. At the count of three, once I say three, go, you shout Jesus. I speak to every ordination in this hall. I speak to every program of God in this hall that is yet to find expression. I speak to ministries. I speak to companies. I speak to destinies. I speak to prophecies that have not come to pass. I declare, let there be activations. One, in the name of Jesus. Two, in the name of Jesus. Three, right now. Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! The next 5 minutes will be non-stop activations. Activations. Things you never knew you carry. It will break open like an egg that finally hatched. Then you will enter another version of yourself. And you come out. When you go back home, you are not the same man. Something has shifted. Something heavy has come upon you. Go ahead and pray wherever you are. Fresh fire. Fresh fire.
Away,
You are.
I declare over companies. I declare over establishments. I command those things hidden in your dreams to begin to flow out now. Everything looking too big, looking too huge, looking impossible before men, I declare, let them begin to become realities in the name of Jesus Christ. Brothers here, you have everything written out and you are looking for funding. You are looking for funding. You are looking for funding. Hi. The Gentile sheep shall bring you the wealth of the nations. The sheep of Tarshish will bring you the wealth of the Gentiles. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I single you out now. And I declare by fire, by fire, by fire, the favor of God comes upon you like a flame. And I prophesy between now and the end of the month of March, you will access the fund you need to put that dream into work. There are mighty healings, dangerous healings God has done in this place. Everybody in this place that has ventured into one project before now or another, and the storyline has always been incomplete project. You get to one place and you are stopped. Hear the word of the Lord. He says, the hand that starts it will perfect it. In this month of March, the favor of the Lord will pursue you, overtake you, will encompass you, favor above you, favor by your side, favor under you, everywhere is favor. Look around. The diseases you saw before, they are no more. They are no more. Gone forever. Gone forever. Listen. Today is such a marvelous day, because God showed his mercy to his people. He has put the enemy to shame. Everything that was registered to cause distress, to cause pain, to cause hopelessness, God intervened and took it away. He nailed it to the cross of his son Jesus. This is why people were free today. This is why destinies were opened up into manifestation and into breakthroughs. Now, listen. Very quickly, I know our time is fast spent and I apologize for that. Maybe in the next 5 minutes, you are here and you have received the touch of God. God has touched you. He has healed your body. You have received the visitation of God. Raise your hand above your head wherever you are. Please, don't just raise your hand quickly. And Akazo, can we celebrate Jesus? Now, maybe we take 2, 3, or 4 testimonies. Okay, let's do 3 testimonies. I want 3 people to run out quickly and just come and share what the Lord has done for them as quick as possible before we go. Be quick. Be very quick. Come.
Come.
To his kingdom there'll be no end. To his kingdom there'll be no end. To my victories there'll be no end. To his kingdom there'll be no end. To my increase there'll be no end. Only Yeshua will reign forever. To his kingdom there'll be no end. Only Yeshua will reign forever. To his kingdom there'll be no end.
My brother, don't cry. Ah, Jesus. See what Jesus has done. Don't cry. Let's hear what God has done for you. Please help him.
The man also on my 40 throat since the death of light, and the headache that was worrying me. I was supposed to say that they should come outside and come and take for the deliverance. As I came outside, Pastor Leo is all out of me. All the pain of my body was disappeared.
That there was pain all over the body. Pain all over the body. At the instant of God's touch, that everything checked out. When you see a person cry, when you see a person crying, there is a matter only tears can communicate. I know you are sitting down in your place is nothing. But if you know that God in the midst of his people is mighty, can you give Jesus a shout? See, as we were singing, there is somebody with a heart condition. Anytime you take a deep breath, there is a pain you feel here. Take a very deep breath now and do everything you used to do before. You will find out it is gone. Come and share your testimony with us quickly. Let's hear from the rest.
Praise the Lord, Anakazo. I came to the service with a very serious ulcer pain. I couldn't sit down. During the prayer session, I had to go out and call a friend to get me just eat after the meeting. Even after taking it and taking food, I was still having serious heartburn. I came inside, people were asking me, I was like, I'm okay, but the pain was just too much for me to bear. During the prayer session, I told God, I said, despite this pain, I'm still going to dance. I kept on dancing and dancing. I remember Papa saying we should rush outside. I said, me, I'm not going to wait behind today. I'm going to rush outside to receive my healing. And to God be the glory, when I went back, I continued praying and I told God that this healing will continue. I want to give God all the glory because right now I can't feel any pain.
Ulcer has checked back to the pit of hell. Listen, if you know God is the doer of these things, can you give Jesus a shout of praise? In the name of Jesus Christ. To his kingdom there'll be no end. To my rising there'll be no end. Listen, in case people are waiting to hear story that you fell, they are waiting to hear story that something bad happened to you. They are waiting, having an itchy ear, to hear one bad news about you or another. He disappoints the devices of the wicked so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. Kingdom, there'll be no end. Only Yeshua, good and forever.
Kingdom, there'll be no end. my chest to my waist. I was just forcing myself to stand, forcing myself to walk, but the pains were excruciating. I just want to sit down. Just, you know, the pains was just serious, but I just kept on forcing myself to. But when Papa said, at the name of Jesus, I should shout a strong and believing amen. The moment I shouted, I just felt relief right from my chest. The pain just went down, and now I can even bend.
Can you give Jesus? Listen. Look at me. Let me tell you what is wrong with us. In your mind, you cannot make the difference between the intervention of God and the mercy of God. There are many people here, you don't think there's anything spectacular about what is going on here. Until people go to hospitals and receive diagnosis about the thing they are describing as pain, just pain. That is when you now come into consciousness that it is only in the presence people are healed. Drugs are for treatment. The anointing is for healing. This is where the thing check out, where people say it was, but it's no more. When you hear these things, this is the same way HIV lives. This is the same way cancer lives. It's not different. It's the same way. So you celebrate God every time you see Him walk. Sister, that pain is checked out forever, never to return again. Afflictions will not arise the second time. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's hear from our sister. Listen. Please give me your attention. There is somebody with an infection, a serious infection that causes you so much discomfort. You even forgot. The Lord said, I should tell you now that you should check yourself. That whole symptom is no more. I want you to check yourself now. You lost touch of that reality. Now, check yourself. It's gone. Sister, what did God do?
Praise the Lord, Anakazo.
Hallelujah.
My name is Naomi. I came out here to receive prayers. For years, I've been having this pain here, severe pain. Most times when I breathe in, I feel this sharp pain, and then I'll hold myself and wait for some minutes before I'll take in deep breath again. But the moment Papa said, there's someone with a sharp pain here, taking deep breath, you won't feel that pain again. Immediately, if I came here, God.
Listen. See, like I said, when people tell you pain here, the pain is just a symptom. It is diagnosis that gives a name to whatever it is. But God is so merciful. He is not even waiting for any confirmation. He checks it out of our bodies immediately. That pain is checked out. Listen, anybody here trusting God for one healing or another, your healing is here and it's available for the taking. Did you hear me? At the mention of the name Jesus, every pain leaves your body now. I command pain. Leave their bodies now in the name of Jesus Christ. Sister Naomi, that pain is gone forever, never to return again. I declare normalcy, I declare perfection in the name of Jesus Christ. Congratulations. I remember I gave us my promise that we're only going to take a few testimonies. The rest of us, please, you can write down your testimonies. And so we'll share at the course of the meeting next week before we commence. There is favor upon your life this month, this coming month of March, like never before. So the month of March is the month of favor. The month of favor. You carry favor like a perfume. It's around you. Please say, I carry favor. Come on, say it like you mean it. I carry favor. You know what is happening around you now? You are attracting good things. You are attracting good things. You are attracting opportunities. You are attracting quality relationships. Favor is upon you now. Celebrate Jesus for His mighty
mighty intervention in our life. Please, while we are standing, we are about to leave. We take a few announcements. By the grace of God, Zaria Solemn Assembly comes up on the 22nd and 23rd of March. Who is excited? To all of our brethren around Zaria and its environs, you can see the billboard around your city there already. There are billboards for the Zaria Solemn Assembly there, and the banners are also at strategic junctions of your city. So please just refer to the billboards for the details about the meeting. God's willing is coming up on the 22nd and the 23rd of March. Prepare for such a mighty visitation of God. God's willing, on Tuesday is our healing and communion service. Who is excited? Listen, if you have not been coming for the healing and communion service on Tuesday at Habikut Hall, Angwan Yelua, you are missing. You need to come and experience that atmosphere. It's a time where we throw weights away. Please make it a point of contact to be there on Tuesday by 5 p.m. and God will be doing us good. This Friday is Brothers and Sisters Fellowship. Who is excited? Come, see, listen now. For those of you who are seeking, you cannot be missing fellowships like this. Huh? May God give us understanding. By the grace of God, the Anakazo Experience holds here at TMC Hall, 5 p.m. every Sunday. Please make it a point of contact to come and to tell your loved ones also to come with us. God has taken away a blood condition. God has taken away a blood condition. I just saw someone in the hospital having blood transfusion, having blood entering them. There is a condition of the blood God has taken away from somebody now. It has gone forever and God has healed you. By the grace of God, our crusade comes up on the 27th and 28th of March. Who is excited? Listen, our crusade comes up on the 27th and 28th of March at the Black Field at Angwan Kadara Television, Kaduna. So please make out time. If you know you want to be a part of the crusade team, the mission team, make our time and join us as we go and draw many into light and call many unto righteousness. This is what the Great Commission is all about, and it is totally about the ministry of reconciliation. If you know you want to be a part of us and then to also be a part of that soul-winning enterprise, make yourself available and we will enter the mission field together. And God will continue to glorify His name in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. I love you. Go and prosper. Enjoy favor like never before. God bless you.